Hi, my name is Mike Pirak. You might know me from East Bay Development. This is episode 37 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host. He leaves the toilet seat up in public restrooms because guys are lazy and have bad aim. Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Mike Pirog. Mike is a co-founder and CTO of East Bay Development, a new web development company located in the San Francisco Bay Area that focuses on simple, business rule-focused designs that translate well into the mobile and tablet experience. He's also the first guinea pig of doing a live show. We've got a few views, people watching us right now as we're recording live, and this is really exciting. So, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm good. I feel really happy to be part of this pioneering experience. Live is kind of weird. I'm a little bit nervous right now. We'll just have to see how it goes because we're doing it live.
Right. Well, do you want to start out by telling us a little bit about you and who you are? Maybe a little bit of East Bay Dev as well.
Sure. I'm 29 years old. I'm originally from New England, about 40 minutes north of Boston. I worked in Washington, D.C. for maybe 5 or 6 years. Decided that that was actually the worst place to go to change things, and decided to come to the place where change really happens, which is the San Francisco Bay Area, and started a small company about 5 months ago now, called East Bay Development, with two other friends, and we're just trying to focus on really simplifying sites down into their bare bones components, the aspects of the sites that are most important for the client's actual business rules, because we think one, that's just a good aesthetic property, a good aesthetic principle, but more importantly, with the internet experience changing to more mobile and tablet devices, we think that having a simple focused kind of design to your site is really important for you to really be able to leverage those technologies effectively.
Cool.
So that's my story in a nutshell.
All right. Well, how did you get started with Drupal? How did you get into that?
My pathway, I think, is probably very, very similar to the pathway that many people who get into Drupal follow, which is they kind of stumble upon it. My background is in mathematics, not in computer science, but obviously there's a lot of computer science involved in mathematics. So I have a little bit of computer science experience, but out of college I got hired in a nonprofit, and when you're the most curious person in a nonprofit, you just become the tech person regardless of whether you want to be or not. And at that point, you kind of inherit a lot of problems that you haven't really thought about before. And at first, that led me towards developing my own content management system, which I feel like is something that a lot of people try to do up front, and then they realize that's actually just a really foolish endeavor. And then they find something that that has all those things done for them already. In my case, it was Drupal. But, some people find WordPress. Some people found Joomla. I don't know if people are still finding Joomla, but it might still be out there. So that's basically how I came to Drupal. Is I realized I didn't want to recreate the wheel. That there's a great community out there that does a lot of great work, and that I could build on top of their work as opposed to starting from scratch. I feel this is like a pretty common story for people getting into Drupal.
Cool. So what's probably the most recent project that you guys are working on?
We are doing a couple of fairly large redesigns for some websites, focusing kind of on the principles that I talked about earlier. Really trying to strip these sites down so that the business rules are the things that shine through, and that we can kind of translate those sites into viable products in the mobile and tablet sphere. We're also doing some stuff on the open source end in the Drupal community, specifically with the Panoply framework, which is a framework that was developed by Matt Chaney of Pantheon Systems. It's very cool technology. It's trying to bring kind of an apps experience and a superior content authoring experience to Drupal. So we're working with him to develop apps and to improve the framework. That's something that I'm more involved in than some of the client work, but it's something that we're really excited with, and we think that it's going to be a really powerful tool that people will hopefully start using more of in the future.
All right, excellent. All right, well, right before we jump into Twitter Bootstrap, I want to remind everybody who's listening to send out a tweet about the show using the hashtag MUP037. And also, while we're talking about Twitter Bootstrap, if you have anything that comes to mind, any questions that come up, send us a tweet with that hashtag, and we'll answer all the questions at the end of the show after we kind of get through the show notes. Okay, so with Twitter Bootstrap, before we decided to talk about this, I'd pretty much written it off as something that either isn't for people who are using a CMS or, and I figured it probably doesn't work with Drupal. So when you guys suggested that we talk about it on the podcast, I thought, maybe it can be used with Drupal. So I took a look a bit, and all I could find was things about Bootstrap itself. I didn't really find anything about using Bootstrap with Drupal, but it looks like it'd be a good way for people with limited development experience to get a good looking site up without having to know too much code. But since I don't know yet anything about how it integrates with Drupal, I'm going to shelve that opinion until later on in this show. So for those who are like I was before you mentioned this, do you want to kind of give us an overview of what Bootstrap is and just by itself?
Sure. Well, Twitter Bootstrap is a open source kind of front-end toolkit that was developed by people at Twitter. It basically combines a lot of components that you would use in the front-end experience. So that stuff like, some basic CSS for like form elements, some jQuery plugins that you might use, things like tooltips or dropdowns. It comes with a responsive grid. And some other responsive technologies. So if you're interested in, having your website kind of follow a responsive grid situation on tablet or mobile, you can implement some of the Bootstrap stuff in that area to get that to work. It has some good typography. All the code is written by people who are very 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 good at this. So you're starting off with something that is stable and is compliant with most kinds of standards that are out there, and it also uses Less, which is a CSS preprocessor, so you can really customize it very easily. So that's basically what Bootstrap is in a nutshell. It's a front end toolkit that allows you to kind of do a lot of the cool kind of like Web 2.0, if people are still using that phrase, kind of stuff that's out there out of the box really easily. I think that has kind of become more of the de facto baseline that people are using stylistically on most serious looking websites, and I think Bootstrap kind of is the benchmark for that right now.
Okay, cool. So then, how does Bootstrap actually integrate with Drupal?
Yeah, that is a great question, Brian, because it doesn't really.
All right.
There are a couple of problems with integrating Bootstrap into Drupal. We looked at it from multiple angles and decided to try to actually do that. And some people have tried to do it. And I think that you mentioned that there are a couple of themes out there. There are a couple of like companion modules, and people have integrated certain aspects of it into Drupal well. No one has really done all of it. And there's still a lot of stuff that's in Bootstrap that people haven't really looked at too much. And I think the responsive grid is probably the biggest part of that, which is unfortunate because it's probably one of the more powerful parts of it. So when we were looking at Bootstrap, what we wanted to kind of do was find a toolkit that solved some of the common Drupal problems, right? So, the UI problem being the big one. Drupal just... For all of it's a very legitimate developer framework, as everyone knows. It's very, very powerful. But I feel like when you look at it, what you see does not necessarily reflect how legitimate of a product it is, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still kind of like, okay, this is kind of looks like it should have been from 5 years ago kind of situation. And Drupal 7, helped out a little bit. But still, yeah. It's like you look at even like WordPress or something like that, and it's so much more in tune with, I think, the user experience and stuff like that we're used to seeing on some of these, more popular websites like Twitter or Pinterest or whatever. So we were kind of thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could kind of reestablish the baseline of Drupal using, you know, a framework that's out there that people see and immediately associate with, you know, simplicity and legitimacy and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we dug in further and saw kind of the responsive aspect of it, we said, wow, this is great because, you know, Drupal is really lagging behind in the responsive area as well. I mean, there's a lot of really great things out there. There's you know, there's Omega, and there's a lot of things that have been done in the Panoply framework that are great. But we still really haven't tackled it to a real, you know, a core degree. So wouldn't it be cool if we could leverage, you know, Bootstrap, you know, in a way that would solve kind of this like UI legitimacy problem and also the responsive problem. And then of course wouldn't it just be great to start on the 10th floor of theming and styling as opposed to just, you know, blank right. slate scenario or Bartik or one of these other things which are fine if you're, you know, running a blog that 5 people see but aren't fine if you're actually running a site that, you know, like 500,000 people go to a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought that, you know, Twitter was a great, Bootstrap was a great, you know, product to do this with. The problem was, you know, integration, which is, I guess, the actual question that's being asked here. And, sorry for the tangent.
That's all right.
But the big problem is Drupal doesn't really, Bootstrap relies on jQuery 1.7, and Drupal 7 doesn't ship with that by default. So if you, there's a companion, there's a module in Drupal jQuery update, which I think a lot of people are probably familiar with, where you can bump your jQuery version up to 1.7, but that ends up breaking a lot of stuff. So I think the biggest part of integrating Drupal and Twitter Bootstrap holistically right now is the jQuery 1.7 roadblock. And I think that a lot of things have been done to address that. I don't know if they're all, I think they're it's mostly stuff that you would have to patch right now. We're working on a framework that kind of does all that for you, so you can kind of get up and running with, you know, with Bootstrap and with some responsive stuff right off the bat. But right now the integration is not great. There's kind of a roadblock there, and I think that's probably the biggest problem that exists in putting the two things together. It's just integrating the core kind of technologies, and I think that's if you look at the space, the modules that are out there, I think that's more than evident that is a huge roadblock.
Okay, so if you use the jQuery update module to update to 1.7, what kinds of things does it break that don't work when you want to use it with Bootstrap?
Right. Good question. I mean, most of the things are, and they might have been fixed by now, so I would definitely encourage you to go back and look at some of the issue queues for these things. There's specifically, I think there's a JavaScript in cTools that governs the display of dependent forms. You know, if you click on one form, you know, do other, you know, form elements show up, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the 1.7 upgrade breaks that. And because it's in cTools, you know, it breaks things in views and it breaks things
right.
in panels. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest roadblocks. And that issue is being addressed. There is a patch out for it right now that does solve it. I think the biggest issue is what does it break that we don't really know about yet?
Mm.
You know. There's a lot of modules out there that have JavaScript that, you know, is based on, you know, 1.4, 1.5 or whatever. And those are the real problem areas, because if you want to be using something like this, you want it to be stable, and to know that it could break, you know, really easily, I think is a huge kind of headache. There are a couple of other modules that we've used that break, like the admin module, you know, which gives you a nice little admin interface on the left-hand side of your screen. The drill down JS and that breaks. And there are a couple of other things like that. The cTools one is the biggest thing, and the issue is being addressed, but I'm sure that it breaks other stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so you mentioned that you guys are not using the current themes and things that are out there, because there's actually a Bootstrap theme on Drupal.org mm-hmm. that you can download
yep.
and as a companion module. So you guys are not using that?
No, we're not. We did look at it extensively. A couple, the big problem I think with that, there are a couple of other ones, a couple of other Bootstrap themes that are out there, and I think that one also ships with a companion module, which allows you to bring in the actual source from Bootstrap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the weird space with Bootstrap too, is that it kind of sits in this weird in between space between theme and module for Drupal. So that's kind of, you know, just a weird thing to deal with. We haven't been using any of those themes. The Twitter Bootstrap theme that's up there right now, I don't think it implements any responsive aspects of Bootstrap, and that's stuff that we really, really wanted to use. So what we've done is we've put together a basic theme. It's still kind of proof of concept right now, that integrates, you know, all of the you know, components that we think are the most powerful parts of Bootstrap with a responsive grid. And we build it on top of the Panoply platform, which is also a huge thing for us. And none of the other themes really do that yet. And I think that gives it some added power because Panoply itself is very responsive and it's built on panels, so you can do lots of, you know, layouts and moving them around and stuff like that. But if you don't have the good responsive grid behind it, then you know, you lose a lot of power, and none of the themes that are out there right now do that really well. And the ones that do, I think, are built more on the old school kind of, like, you know, blocks and regions kind of paradigm. And I think it's pretty obvious that we're moving away from that.
Okay. Cool. So then let's play devil's advocate for a minute and go over the reasons why would somebody not want to use Twitter Bootstrap with Drupal? And the first thing that comes to my mind is the ease of, you know, or difficulty of getting it connected. But what are some of the reasons that you can think of that someone would choose to use a different theme?
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great question, and the biggest one I think is exactly what you said. You're right. It's the point of integration. Right now, it's not easy to leverage all of the tools in Bootstrap, and there are also a lot of things that are in Drupal already, like vertical tabs, for example, which, you know, Bootstrap also does. So it's like, do you want to use what's in Drupal, or do you want to use what's in Bootstrap, or do you want to just have both of them running? And so there's a lot of overlap, and that overlap isn't really handled well either. So that's the biggest point of contention right now, and it's something that we're trying to work on, because we think that having Bootstrap available to developers would be really, really cool. It would be a really great starting place. And I think that, you know, once the jQuery 1.7 issue is solved and some of these other things are solved, then the point of integration will be really, really easy. And then we'll be able to integrate a really cool front end toolkit into a framework, i.e. Drupal, you know, which really doesn't have a good front end toolkit.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest roadblock now, but people are working on that, so that's exciting. In terms of it as an actual, as just Bootstrap by itself, the biggest thing for me is the way that it handles most of its responsive aspects. Is, you know, it uses a media query, so it can tell how big your device is, and then basically what it does is it hides certain elements on your site based on the width, and that works well for some things. But if you're really concerned about, you know, performance and load time and stuff like that, you know, you really want the responsive situation to be set up so that those things aren't even loaded to begin with, you know. And the way the Bootstrap works right now is that those things get loaded and then they get hidden in CSS. So if you're like on a front page and on your desktop experience, you have this, you know, really nice big, you know, picture that is large, you mm-hmm. know, that takes time to load, and on the desktop that's fine because, you know, you'll see it. But you want that huge picture to load on your mobile just to ultimately to be hidden. And I think the answer is no. So I think that that's something that, you know, I think that there that that's not just a problem with Bootstrap. I think that's a problem with a lot of kind of responsive techniques right now, which we don't really have, you know, I don't think there really is a standard that's out there that says this is how you do, you know, responsive design. Like, it's, you know, server side, you know, identification of device and then not even rendering certain things, or it's, you know, completely on the end of the runtime where you're just like hiding stuff with CSS or whatever. Then I think that Bootstrap is still doesn't really lead us in either of those directions definitively. And as a result, I think that you're making a trade-off between ease and maybe performance. And that's I think probably the biggest downfall of Bootstrap. Everything else, to be quite honest, is really good. Really, really good. And it really the only other thing is that you might want to consider is just the hangover factor. I mean, you go to websites now, you look at it and you're like, okay, that's totally Bootstrap, right? People are just like using these kinds of components and these kind of tools. So it's just kind of like, you know, 3 years ago when everyone was like, you know, doing the you know, glass buttons and stuff.
Right, right.
You know, at some point there's a point where it's like, well, if we're all using this, then what's the point anymore? So that's something that you might want to to think about too. But I think there's still a good, you know, year or two at the least left for this kind of at least design paradigm.
Okay, so I've got a question for you. Like, how are you guys using this? Because East Bay Web, eastbayweb.com, you guys are using it on there, right? Is that a
general
site?
We are not using it on our website.
Oh, you're not.
No. We're using some of the styles on the East Bay Web Shop. We're not using any of the responsive technology.
Okay.
So the way that we're using it right now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to build a framework that pulls in all of the major tools of Bootstrap, so that we can hit the ground running on projects, you know, with a really good site building framework, which is Panoply, but also some really cool responsive stuff, because I think that that's, you know, really, 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 really important for clients and a huge part of what we're trying to do as a company, which is that the internet is changing. It's obvious that it's changing. It's obvious that people are going to be using mobile and tablet. So responsive is huge. And responsive is just the tip of the iceberg, really. I mean, that's basically just the application backlash on traditional web developers, right? I mean, like, we're not really building apps. Drupal is not really an app platform at this point. So responsive is kind of like our olive branch, where it's like, well, yeah, you don't have an app, but it looks good on your phone,
yeah,
right? So this is kind of step one, I think, into moving into a different territory. And that's really what we're hoping to accomplish with integrating Bootstrap into Drupal. And there are some other people who are doing some stuff with it that it's yet to be seen, you know, what the best approach is. So this is just kind of an alternative approach, and it's a product that we're working on, and we're hoping to, you know, to have it out there in the Drupal space for other people to start testing, you know, sometime soon.
Okay, you started to cut out a little bit there during that. What was the last thing you just said?
We are, you know, we're working on putting together a framework, and that we hope that, you know, within a couple of months, people can actually, you know, download this and you get really easily spun up using an installation profile, similar to like most Drupal distributions, where they'll have all these technologies, you know, ready to go out of the box, and they can kind of start to leverage them without having to do all the messy stuff that we've been talking about.
Okay, cool. Have you guys built any sites using Twitter Bootstrap and Drupal that are kind of out there live?
Yeah, we have a site that we're about to launch pretty soon. I can certainly provide that information for you, that we built using kind of like a prototype version of the framework that I'm describing, that demonstrates, I think, some of the responsive capabilities pretty well.
Okay.
We're developing two larger sites right now that are going to extensively use it. So those will probably be the real big, I guess, proof of concept.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully,
right.
Proof of concept. And those are the big three that we have right now. None of them are actually live right now. They're all in development or pending client approval for, you know, going live.
Okay.
We're also working on a new website for ourselves, which will use the technology. But you know, we're really our focus right now is to actually get the framework that we're describing stable. Because, you know, you don't want to have it not be stable.
Right. Okay, cool. Those are all the questions I had in the show notes. So if you're listening right now and you've thought of anything, go ahead and send that over using the hashtag MUP037, and we'll answer those. I did get one question in while we were talking from Ted Bow. And he said, do you know of any other Twitter Bootstrap sites to give a good example of what it can look like, whether or not they're made with Drupal?
I mean, the best Twitter Bootstrap site to see what Twitter Bootstrap is like is the actual Twitter Bootstrap site.
Right.
So if you actually go to the Bootstrap site, it's built on Bootstrap. And I think it does a pretty good demo of all the functionality that's there. If you look at it on your mobile device, you'll see, you know, kind of the mobile, you know, tools that it has available and how the responsive grid works and stuff like that. All the components are in there. And I think that's the best site to go to, because, you know, not only does it demonstrate, it's documentation and demonstration combined. So as a developer, that's probably the best thing. You want to see actually what it does, and then the code that goes with it and where it is and how you can leverage it. So that's what I would do.
Okay.
You know, and on that site they have a bunch of example sites. So I think that's pretty much your QED for the demo.
Right. Yeah, I just checked that out. The link is twitter.github.com/bootstrap. And if you scroll down a little bit, mm-hmm. you've got some examples. So cool.
Well, yeah, it's actually it's one of the better documentations I've ever seen, to be honest. They did a really good job with it.
Cool. Okay, that's all I have. Did you have anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, it was exciting. It was exciting. We did it live, and you know, no one swore or threw pens or you know. So I think this was a positive experience, and
yeah,
I'm happy
good.
That we were your first.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so this will go out next Wednesday, just like normal. It'll be edited audio only. I think that on the page, if you're watching this on the YouTube page right now, as soon as I hit end, it's going to start processing, and the recorded version will be on that page right there for you. So thanks, Mike, for coming on and being my first experience and test live podcast guest, I guess.
No problem, man. It was a pleasure. If you ever have any other needs for guinea pigs, we're more than willing to help you out.
Cool. Okay, so a couple questions I always ask my guests, and the first one is there something that you have seen or think looks really cool, something that you're not working on but you know kind of gets you excited?
Drupal 8, I guess, is the obvious answer that I'm sure probably everyone else says. Something that we, you know, as a small company that's still, you know, growing and has to put in a lot of time, we don't have a ton of time to do recreational Drupal, you know, which would be, you know, working on Drupal 8 or at least getting more involved in it. But you know, we've gone to a bunch of meetups and stuff like that, and seen some people talk about some of the things that are coming in Drupal 8, and I think it's pretty exciting. And I think that it's a much needed paradigm shift because, you know, as I said earlier, the internet is changing very, very quickly, mm-hmm. and you know, Drupal has, you know, I think this next iteration could be huge. I mean, if they don't make some serious, I think, lower level changes, then you know, it's, it'd be possible for Drupal to get left behind, and that would be unfortunate because it has a really great community. So that's one thing that we're not working on that we're really excited about. We're also really excited about, right now there's this Drupal 7 like authoring experience war going on or whatever, and this is kind of a transition from the normal Drupal content authoring experience to one that's more panels driven, you know, kind of getting rid of the blocks kind of mentality and going to more of a panel panes, a content pane mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really good, and we're kind of working with that, but that's something that we're really excited about because that's been a long time coming. You know, the fact that we're still using the same basic authoring experience that we used, you know, in Drupal like 5,
right,
is, you know, it's sad because it doesn't reflect how far we've come in other areas. So I think this is very welcome. We're really excited about the Pantheon platform, which I don't know how many people are using that yet, but it's you know, very cool. It's a very cool platform for web development and hosting. I definitely suggest you check it out. We're really excited to see what they're going to be doing next, and we're also excited for another layer to kind of be added on top of Drupal. And this is something that people have been talking about for a while, and no one's really seriously done it yet until maybe now with the Panoply framework, but which is the, you know, the apps layer or the features layer of Drupal, right, where we kind of get these modular portable bundles of functionality that's of, you know, 80% of certain use cases, that will get you, you know, really, really far down the road, and then you can kind of do something after that. Those are the four big things that we're really excited about right now.
Okay, and where can people go to find out more about you and your development shop just in general?
Sure. Our website is probably the best, eastbaywebshop.com. We all have Drupal usernames. I think they're in the show notes.
Yeah.
That's another place to go. We have a GitHub repo that has, you know, some stuff on it that's not on Drupal.org. So if you, for whatever reason, wanted to just download them and play around with them, you certainly can do that. They're all public. You know, we've got some sandboxes on Drupal. The big one is probably called Funopoly. That's the framework, the Twitter Bootstrap framework that's built on top of Funopoly that we're working on. So you can download that and play around with that if you want. Or if help contribute to it if you so choose. But those are probably the best places for you to go to see, you know, what we're doing as a company, but also what we're doing, you know, on a day-to-day basis in terms of actual, you know, code development and research and development and stuff like that. All that stuff's out there.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thanks everybody for watching. And actually, I would like to get some feedback. So use that same hashtag I've been saying, MUP037, and give me some feedback. Let me know if it was good, if it was bad, what the quality was like, you know, how things went, what your thoughts are. Just want to get some feedback. So thanks for watching, and we'll talk to you next week. If you liked this episode, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.